Millions of people are in survival mode and they don't know how to get out. And that's why Lolita Guarin will tell us how to go from survival mode to self-trust and success. Lolita is a stress management expert, coach, and speaker, six-time Amazon bestselling author, and creator of the Calm Process. And she helps people move from stress-borne burnout and survival mode into greater clarity, self-trust, and meaningful impact through practical tools, honest insight, and lived experience. So, Lolita, tell us about how someone can go from survival to self-trust and success. What's your blueprint?
Follow me for more interviews with world's most innovative health change makers to live your healthiest life ever.
The number one thing that we need to realize is that we're the only ones that are responsible for whatever happens to us. And it all starts with understanding and honoring our needs and truly listening to our bodies and our intuition and our thoughts, and because we are the powerhouse inside. So if we allow ourselves to express ourselves, that is the key to any success.
Thank you. So how would someone start going from survival mode to self-trust and success? Because I've been in that situation. And I think when you're in survival mode, you seemingly feel like a firefighter. Like you're always like trying to deal with so many different things at the same time. And the fires keep kind of showing up somewhere else. Like you're kind of, you know, have some little success in keeping the fire in one place, and then it shows up somewhere else and somewhere else and somewhere else. And it's like, it feels like never ending. Like, how do you kind of get out of that into something better?
So when I have a coaching clients coming to me and they say, oh, you know, I really need to start taking care of myself. And usually happens when somebody already have a illness or something that it shows in their life that they want to start taking care of. And the first thing is to acknowledging that is happening. You know, I noticed that a lot of times that business that you described is just so, in our societies, it's like wearing badge of honor, like being busy and being stressed out and being burnout. It's like, that's how we do it. It's like, you know, when you meet someone and you ask them, hey, how are you? And they will start telling you how busy they are, how, what the things are happening. And it's very rare to hear that somebody will say, oh, you know, I just had this great cup of coffee this morning and enjoying the sunlight. Everybody's like, no, you're supposed to be busy. So when we want to be successful, I say we cannot bulldoze ourselves into success. And especially when we see so many things happening outside us, that all those many gurus that say, you need to do this and you need to do that. And not everything works for us. But the first step is to acknowledge that, what is the issue that you have? Where are you stressing out? Where the things are annoying you? Where are you feeling resentful? And then really look into that. And, you know, I can say I created the Calm Process. Every letter means something. So now you can think about some situation that you may be encountering any stress, and you think, okay, the first letter C starts for controlling. Can you control what that situation is? Can you control it? Because there's so many things that we cannot control. Like, we cannot control other people, for example, how they react, what they do, how they feel. And there are a lot of things outside of us that has to do, let's say, with success, that we can say, well, you know, there are the clients, there are my teamwork, there are economy, there is parents, there are kids, there are all of those other people that involve, or the weather, or the traffic, or and it's very important to understand where is that I have the power in the situation that I'm dealing with. You know, there are so many times I see that we get involved in things that really don't matter at the end of the day, or don't even matter in 5 years, but we still think that it matters because that's what we've been told, that that's what matters and that's what we need to do. Or somebody else did that and it worked for them, so we think it's going to work for us too. And you know, the letter A in the Calm Process is accepting or appreciating the things that actually that really that situation bringing to us. And if we see something that we think that we cannot change it, but we still can change our attitude, and that is the acceptance and appreciation comes to that, because then it gives us something to learn or learn about ourselves. And many times in any situation, and this is where we go to a letter L, is limiting. We really need to make sure that we limit the things that don't work. And, you know, I constantly work with clients who, you know, I tell them, I'm like, okay, well, you have a stressful situation, you're dealing with something, and how is that you managing this? And they're like, well, they're doing the same thing that they did before. And as we know, the continuously doing the same thing over and over, but expecting different results is called insanity. So it's very important for us to realize that it's time to stop doing what doesn't work. But the key is here is that many of us continuously doing that because we keep the loyalties to something that are dear to us, loyalty to our identity, loyalty to our parents, what we learn, how to deal with situations. We are loyal to, let's say, that comes to do with success. There's so many of those programs that we learn. They say, you need to do this and you need to do that. And then we're like, well, we already invested $10,000 in this, so I'm going to continue doing that, even if it doesn't work for me, because I feel like I'm invested. I have this loyalty. And then what's very important with the, say, letter M is multiplying what works. Many times we don't even pay attention to things that don't work, that work. So we think like, oh, that just feels natural. We're just gonna let it, you know, goes and it's not a big deal. And, but we do not really celebrate that part. So when we in any situation that has to do health or a goal or success or anything big or small, it's important not only realize that we need to celebrate those small steps that we already took, but also things that we do about that situation or anything in our lives that support us and helps us to celebrate ourselves that we're doing something, because it's very important to keep positivity, and also important to acknowledge that we already did some things and validate ourselves.
Thank you. Tell me why, let's say when I'm in survival mode, why is it that I know what to do and I just don't do it?
So we have a lot of times that we do a lot of things that we learn how to do it before. And if we feel outside of the comfort zone, we may freeze of doing something. But I also notice when we have clients who will start something new, they don't want to do something different. You know, when I said you need to stop doing something that doesn't work for you, but then how is that we're going to start doing something new? And that is where we need to ask ourselves, why am I holding myself back? Or what am I afraid will happen if I'm going to start doing something else? What I'm afraid will happen if I will make that step? And many times it has a lot to do with some beliefs that we already have, that especially in success, that has to do with visibility and with the loyalty, how we will leave other people behind, how we will leave the identity of us, especially, let's say, successful and not successful. Let's say someone is not successful and now they want to be achiever. It's like, well, but that's like, oh, people may not like me anymore because they always thought of me this way, and now I'm going to change into something else. So I think when someone is struggling to make any change, we should not bulldoze ourselves to do that. No way, because then we are breaking the trust with ourselves, and that's going to make even worse. We'll become more resentful towards ourselves. And so we always need to ask, if we're standing at, on a path that we're asking ourselves, well, I feel like I really need to do this, but I really don't want to do this. This is one that we need to ask, what am I afraid? What's going to happen? What am I not comfortable with? And then also ask ourselves, why do I want that? Because a lot of times we are being told what to do, or we think that this is what we need to do. But inside, we kind of feel like there is this feeling that like, I just really don't feel like doing it right now. And also, if not right now, it doesn't mean that never. Maybe it's just the wrong timing. So it's also important to ask yourself, like, why am I hesitating? Why am I not doing something that I need to do? And if there is a feeling of intuition saying, you know, I think it's not right now, but maybe sometimes just not right now, then it's different outcome. But when you ask yourself, what am I afraid of? And then you feel like you triggered, like, oh my gosh, this doesn't feel right. I don't want to do this. Then you ask, okay, what is in that situation that made you triggered that you want to hold yourself back? And the beauty of this is that you can go very far and very deep, and you can solve a lot of problems very quick if you want to. But also it takes a lot of courage to look at it, because I think we're not being told really how to deal with those situations, how to deal with our emotions and how to listen to ourselves. We've just been taught that we need to do what we've been told to do. And it takes courage to break those patterns.
Sometimes when I'm in survival mode, I numb myself with distractions and procrastination and doing everything but what I'm actually supposed to do. How does someone come out of a numbing mode where they're doing like doom scrolling or I know everything that is fun besides the actual task that needs to be done?
So I call this when we try to bulldoze ourselves into doing something that we don't want to do. And that is the question is to ask ourselves, why I don't want to do that? And many times all this like numbing yourself, that's mean it's already reached the point of burnout and resentment. And that moment we are breaking the trust with ourselves if we will push ourselves in doing that, because it will trigger that the fear of when we were abandoned by anyone that we've been loved by someone before. So when they didn't support us in the moment when we need them, that was in the past. But then now we're adults, and then we are bulldozing ourselves into something. So we are abandoning ourselves. So that is, we should not, if somebody wants to do something, but they're postponing it, the only one reason is that there is something about that that you don't feel comfortable doing it. And then is the question is like, why do I believe I need to do this? Where did I get the idea that I need to do this? And, you know, and I tell you, when I hired a business coach for my business, she was telling me a lot of things that I needed to do. And at the beginning, I was doing them. And then I got very resentful of doing this. And then I would be like on the phone scrolling, like you said, and I don't want to do that, what she told me to do. And then I thought, well, she knows better, so I'll keep doing it. Then what started happening, I started hating to the point of doing what she asked me to do. And then it kind of like trickled into other activities that I was doing about my business. And I did not like that to the point that I got so resentful towards myself. And then I got angry at myself on top of that, because I was really abandoning myself. And I was like, this is what I teach my clients, not to abandon themselves. And I'm abandoning myself. So the moment when I told myself, I am not going to do it if I don't feel like doing it, and I will do it if I feel like doing it, that took away the pressure. So it's very important in that situation to be kind to yourself and ask, why is that I don't want to do something? And then really dig deeper into, well, maybe there are some tasks that need to be done, but maybe you can hire somebody to do that. Maybe you can delegate somebody else to do that. Especially if, let's say, somebody has a business and there's some tasks that need to be done. And it's like, well, but they need to be done. I cannot just not pay taxes or whatever, or submit something. So then you can delegate to other people. And because we all are very different and we're good at certain things, and some certain things helps us feel happy when we do that. But a lot of times when we're in a situation like this, I mean, we're pushing something that we should not be pushing.
Thank you. What about if you feel like doing nothing for a really long time? What do you do to kind of come out of that survival mode, especially after, I don't know, a lot, financial loss?
If you don't feel like doing anything, then you don't feel, then don't do it. And it really, when you think about it, it's like emotions. You have to allow yourself and honor your needs to be and process the things. If we cut that process short, then it will be like unfinished song. Like we will continuously need to come back and finish that off. And there are a lot of people that say, oh, forget about everything that happened. You still need to move forward. And that's how you get out of this. From different people work different things. But for example, what let's say, somebody who's dealing with loss, and it's a stressful situation. It's like, I cannot deal with this anymore, and I'm going to shut down. Now, we also need to remember that Let's see, women and men handle stress differently too, because we have different ways how we process things. It's different emotions, different hormones, different things. So different person needs different things to process things. And also it's very important to find those different processes that work for you and try having something else and finding what's going to work for you. For different situations also can be different solutions. But if somebody feels like they just want to sit and do nothing, that's what they need to do. Because the moment you'll start bulldozing yourself and doing something else, you're betraying yourself and you're breaking the trust in yourself as well. And also, if we really think about, I'm just going to sit and do nothing at all, how long you think you're going to sit? You're not going to sit a month and absolutely do nothing. But the moment when you allow yourself that I'm going to honor my needs, I'm going to sit and feel what I'm feeling. I'm going to be angry right now because I want to be angry. And you really will invest in that. You will allow yourself to be in the emotion. That will pass faster than you think. And of course, when it has to do with like financial losses or all the other things, it's very important also to seek help and thinking, okay, do I need help or do I just want to just kind of sit by myself and help myself that way? Or do I need to talk with the therapist? Or I need to talk with the coach? Or I need to hire somebody to take care of this? Or do I need to ask for the hug and the physical touch? And it's important to know what help you can ask. And also, I've seen a lot with the high achievers is the person who grows up very independent. They think that they can do everything. And then we're so afraid to delegate things and let go of the things or even fall. Like, I'm going to save everyone. I'm going to make everybody sure that everybody's happy. All the business is okay. All the tasks are done. And then we leave ourselves on the last item. And then it's just a complete collapse. But even then, there's some sort of shame of asking for help and looking at other things that you can do for yourself in order not to be in that situation.
Thank you. So how does someone who is in survival mode go to self-trust and success? Like, what do you mean, like, self-trust?
A lot of times when we abandon ourselves, meaning we are bulldozing ourselves into doing something, we're not confident to deal with things. Or like, for example, you said about, let's say, about procrastination. Someone who has an history of being told or seeing that they were not good enough and they can fail on things can be afraid to looking in the future and say, you know, I'm not going to do this because I am afraid I'm going to do this. Or maybe someone had experiences before where they were actually successful, but then other people are not happy about that success. So then they don't want to finish the task because they don't want to deal with other people's uncomfortable feelings. So there could be different reasons for different things. But when you're looking at you're trusting in yourself, is if you trust in yourself, then you know whatever will come your way, no matter how big they will be, you know you will handle it. So you build your trust. Number one, you need to appreciate and validate yourself. So start with a list of things that you already accomplished, small or big. I've seen it over and over that we do not appreciate already what we achieved, even like getting driver's license, learning how to read and write. I mean, there's plenty of people who don't know how to do that. Or like you're a great cook or you have a great sense of humor and you just write the whole list of things that you already accomplished or like you're good at. This is already the building block of having a validation of saying, you know what, I'm good at so many things. And if you still can find like, well, I don't know what else can I write, then you can think about, okay, compare yourself from you now and 10 years ago. We are constantly growing. So we learn more things and we accomplish more things. We go through more things that we survive. So that is just like a little building block that you can build your confidence in yourself. And then you need to do something small. And again, I say we should not do this in big because it can get so stressful and we get burned out more. But even telling yourself that you want to do something every day that's actually benefiting you. And let's say brushing your teeth, I don't know, like doing five push-ups or drinking more water or something like that, that is beneficial only to you. And that has to do with self-nurture. And then you will do that thing every day. That's mean you will show up for yourself. And the more times that you will show up for yourself without abandoning yourself, the more you build trust with yourself that, oh yeah, I can trust myself, I'm going to do this. So it starts very small, but it can grow in big trust in the confidence. Then no matter what happened in the future, you will know like, yeah, I'll get through this because I did that before. But also it's very important that, let's say if you tell yourself, I want to go to the gym every day, but then you feel sick one day, then you tell yourself, I'm feeling sick. I'm not going to abandon myself because I'm going to take care of myself. So I am not going to go to the gym today. So this is also self-care. And when we build that trust in ourselves, we know that we can also change and or whatever that we want to do, and we'll be okay with that because we trust in ourselves and we do not abandon. And that is self-trust with abandonment, when we do not push ourselves into doing something that we don't want to.
Thank you. How can someone become their own self-accountability coach? The reason I ask you this is because I find that whenever I'm in front of a coach, it could be that the coach is just like asking some questions and I'm coming up with all the answers. And it's like, I already know this, but why is it that I don't like ask myself these questions and just kind of like act on the answers? Like, why do people do that? And how can someone become their own accountability coach without having to like talk to someone else about it?
Well, first of all, we need to start really believing in ourselves that we're the only person that knows what is good for us. We really know. Like I said, you already know the answers because you the only know who is good for you. But the problem is, I think that we need permission from other people to, oh, that's okay, now I can do this, or validation. Especially when we've been told that whatever we do is we're not good enough. And we, you know, naturally, kids grow up on knowing that the adults know better. But then we become those adults, but we still have this belief that somebody else needs to tell us what to do. I think that's where, you know, all those gurus that can, you know, charge thousands of dollars for something that you yourself already knew, but we don't have enough confidence that and don't have permission to trust in ourselves. So the number one thing is you need to give yourself permission to trust yourself. And there's another thing that when I'm working with my clients with the stress management, or I'm also from story to impact mentor, I help other people to write and publish books. I, you know, when I started my coaching, stress management coaching career, you know, there was a lot of clients will come to me and they say, what do I need to do? And I'll say, okay, we can try this. We can try this. What do you think? And what would you like to do? And, but then I realized this really true success really is made by the person who wants to make the change. At the end of the day, it's you the one who's making your life. And then I start asking you very differently the question, what do you believe will help you? What do you believe will help you? So you cannot bulldoze yourself. So like you say, you need to be an accountability partner. That you're still bulldozing yourself. You're like still pressuring yourself into doing something that maybe you don't want to do. So instead of thinking, oh, I need to do this, you then ask, let's say you have five items that you say, oh, I know I need to do this and this and that. But then if you can ask yourself, what do I truly believe is going to help me from those five items? And then the feeling immediately changes. Like, you know, I don't think that this is going to help. I don't think this is going to help. But I think this one I can do. Also ask yourself, like, will I believe this will help me if I'll do that? And if you don't like the idea, you can tweak it and say, how about let's go into the gym, but I don't want to go to the gym, but I want to just walk. How about if I'm going to walk? Will I believe that walking around the block, it will still work towards, again, my gym, a goal? And then you're like, oh yeah, you know what? I think that'll be okay. So then it becomes not a chore, but a pleasure. And then the result shows up when you're looking at the things forward and you say, you know what? I'm really enjoying this. I really like this. And then you give yourself a wild card of telling yourself, any day I can choose not to do it if I choose not to do it. Because if we become this accountability partner, but we become the bulldozer, like the teacher, the parent who continuously pushing you or micromanaging you, there's always resentment because we don't like when other people control us. But we should not control ourselves as well. We should not abandon ourselves. We should not be the child and the parent in the same place where the parent is continuously pushing the child, because that is just abuse, you know, on a small scale, on a big scale. But if you are working with something that you like doing it, and you're coming with the pleasure and with the game and telling yourself, if I don't like it, I can stop it, then you have more options, and then it gives you freedom to choose what you believe will help you. And I always seen more results when somebody has more options, when they can stop whatever they want to, when they have a reward, you know, how you can entice yourself. You can say, okay, after I finish this task, or like a month of walking to the, going to the gym, I will give myself a gift. Then there's something to look forward to. So I think with inspiration, we can achieve more than just pushing ourselves into something, doing it that we maybe don't even feel or believe we're doing.
Thank you. Are you saying that, for example, when someone is feeling blocked or stuck in a rut, they should always look for a way to turn whatever that is into pleasure, or to just like not do the task? What about if you don't have the opportunity to like not do the task? You just have to like incentivize yourself with something so you actually do it? Or is this like the universe's way of saying kind of like, don't do this because this is not your calling, this is not your whatever? Like some people are in that kind of frame of mind all of the time. It doesn't mean that they're not living their passion and the universe is kind of trying to guide them towards something that feels more aligned. Or is it just a case of, you know, like some people are just lazy and they really should find a way to get things moving by incentivizing themselves with little carrots?
So I have so many answers now. I'll just give you two answers for a very common thing. So I had some clients who come from my stress management, and they say, I tried everything and nothing works. I tried walking, I tried meditation, I tried and nothing works, and I'm stuck and I cannot get out. So I always ask this question, and it can be very triggering, but it helps a lot. And the question is, for someone who's stuck in something, and they're very resentful, and they there's just no way out, they need to ask themselves, how is this serving me? How is this serving me? Because we are all about survivalism. We all about, you know, staying alive. So many times we do something or we don't do in order to survive. So especially, let's say, about someone who wants to succeed in something. And they know they need to go do that, but they're not doing it. And so when you ask, like, okay, why, how is this serving you? How is this not doing really serving you? And immediately there is this pushback of like, what do you mean isn't serving me? It is not serving me. That's why I want to get out of the situation. But that means there's deep down somewhere you're not doing something because it's actually saving you from something that you're afraid to get. So that's the question of like, what are you afraid is going to happen if you actually go through it? There's always fear behind that. And it could be, let's say, for success, maybe you are afraid of being visible. Maybe that means that you will have more responsibility, then you have to take care of more people. Or maybe that will show, let's say, if you will become now successful in your business, now you need to quit your full-time job, and that's more responsibility. People will see you. Your family will expect more things from you. And then you will hold yourself back. So it is a very triggering question, but can open up so many like deep conversation with yourself that can really can help you to see what are the true reasons are why we in the situations that we continuously doing it. Now, with the second answer that I want to tell you, that has to do with stress and being in the situations that involve other people. And it's like, well, I still need to take the kid to school, and I still need to do all those things, and I don't want. And I, you know, it's like, well, how is, you know, I read a very interesting book that was talking about stress, was the whole book about how stress is good for you, and it was full of examples of how people were in the stress. So basically, the point is you have to reframe. So let's say, So here's the story. So there were a group of doctors, oncologists, that were dealing with the cancer patients. And every week they will meet and they will, you know, complain how, you know, they will say something like, I had a surgery and the patient survived for one more month, but then he still died. I feel a failure, you know. So they measured the physical, you know, like give them like blood pressure and all that medication, to not medication, but like measurements to see how the body reacts to that. So then they split the group in two. And the first part, you know, they were still continuously doing the same thing. They were still commiserating how bad and how sad they are and all of this. And then the second group, they said, from now on, you're going to meet like you always met, but you will reframe it, everything that you say. So instead of saying, oh, I had the surgery and the patient survived only 1 month and then died anyway, feeling like a failure, they said, I had the surgery and the patient survived for another month. And they were actually capable of meeting the family members and putting the things in order. And they were very grateful that they got this opportunity. So the fact is the same, but how they framed it. So basically the whole book, it says this, that when you assign the meaning to something, it changes even the chemistry in our body. So for example, if somebody, a mother who doesn't even has a job, let's do this one, the simple one. Somebody who's just watching her kids all day, and it's very stressful. And it's like, oh my gosh, I cannot have time for myself. All of this commotion, everybody's running, you're constantly in a hurry, you don't have enough sleep. But the moment, that shows actually in the body, in the chemistry of the body. And it's like the moment you assign the meaning of, wow, I get to see how those kids growing up, and by helping them to grow up, they will benefit the world, and they maybe will change something in the world, that they invent something, and I get to see them grow, and I'm making a difference in this world because I am giving this energy and time for those kids, and that's meaningful. So if we're in any situation that we feel also stuck and we don't want to do it, when we assign the meaning and we see it from a different perspective, then it changes a lot, from not that we get more inspired to do something and not that we calm down, but it's kind of we like getting a bigger picture. And then also we can see that in the body, it has to do with stress, and it takes only reframing and looking at the things from a different perspective. And I think that was fascinating when I read it.
Thank you. Give me some questions that someone could ask themselves if they're feeling stuck in a rut. You mentioned one earlier about how is this serving me? Is there any other question that someone can leverage to kind of shift their focus? For example, for me, in the past, when let's say I had a relationship and let's say someone left me, initially I would be very sad, I would cry and so on. But then I would think, you know, can you believe he left this hotness? You know, and can you believe, like, I'm so awesome and he's totally gonna miss out on this amazing food that I'm cooking, and how, you know, how honest I am and how gorgeous. And I mean, like, really, have you looked at myself in the mirror? And just like this shift, and I would find a way to kind of look at it in a funny way. Can you even believe he like cheated on me with this like ugly woman and this, you know what I mean? So I would find a way to like look at it in a positive light. And after doing this exercise, it's almost like the entire, like the anger, the resentment, the thing would kind of like just wither away, and I would just like release that, and then I would be fine again. Not instantly, of course, it would take sometimes a few months. But
you see, you would change the point of view. Yes, yeah. You will look at it from a different point of view. There's some exercise I also tell my clients to do, is to write the times when they went through something difficult and something looked like, well, let's say somebody was applying for a job and they didn't get that job, and they were like, oh my gosh, I didn't get it, oh my God. But then later on, they find out that the company went bankrupt or something, or they even got a better job. So when you don't have that opportunity and you get the news that you're not getting accepted to a job or getting a project or something, then it's like, oh my gosh, you know, this is so bad and I cannot believe it. But then you get out of this. There was some statement that I love. I heard this a few years back, and it says, I don't know what I've been saved from. I like that one. And also when we look at the list of things that what you know, funny where you were talking about relationships. I had this huge crush on my neighbor when I was growing up. And then when I came to, you know, I came from Lithuania. So of course he was Lithuanian. And when I came to US, I was still missing him. I was thinking like, oh my gosh, if I have stayed in Lithuania, I don't know what my life would look like, you know, and maybe I'll be so happy with him. And then, you know, like a few years back after I came, I realized real quick by looking at his posts on social media that he was not the guy that I expected him to be. And that moment I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I didn't know what I was safe from, you know, like this is very good that nothing happened between us because I will have given up my hope to come to US, and I could have been stuck with some man that at the end was not really good for me. But when we going through this something, it looks like, oh, this is unbearable. But somehow it always works out for us. And I love how you said you can reframe it and see looking from a different point of view. And that is what it is. A lot of so much of this mental work that has to do a lot of in any situation, how do we think about things? And also, we need to be more forgiving towards ourselves and remind ourselves that I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I can with what I know and what I can do right now. But for those who, you know, your question is how else they can ask something, they can ask themselves, what is that I am continuously doing that is not working for me? And then when they, in many times I have clients just writing down, like for 2 weeks at least or a month, like a simple diary of what a specific issue, like what did they do? And when you record this, then you can look back and you can see the pattern. What is it you're continuously doing? Because if I will ask somebody and say, what is that you're continuously doing that's not working for you? They'll be like, are you insane? I'm doing everything that, what? Why would I do that if it's not working for me? Because we don't pay attention to this. But over time, when you look what's in writing and then you can find the pattern, there's like, oh, I'm continuously doing the same thing, or I feel the same way, or I think the same way, whatever that situation comes up, or like, you know, somebody's driving to work and they hate that drive every single day. You know, like, okay, that's a pattern. And then the question is, now we know what we're doing, then we need to ask ourselves, why am I keep on doing the same thing? You know, that's the thing. It's like, how is this serving me? And then when you ask yourself why, okay, then you identify, okay, this is why I'm doing. And then the next step is like, what can I change right now to make this thing different? Who can I ask for help? You know, if you're sick and tired of the same route going to work, maybe you can try a different route, or you can get another job, you know, or you can find some other ways how to, but you cannot expect that things will change if you do not identify what is going wrong, what you don't like, what you feel resentful. And when we identify those patterns, then we can start changing those things.
Thank you. One thing that I do sometimes when I'm feeling in a rut is I write like a big list of what am I doing right now that's not serving me? And I write like a massive list. And then I write, what's the impact of that? Like in a negative way. And then I come up with a lot of different things. And then I write, okay, what's the impact of that impact? You know, so it kind of has ramifications of like, you know, it gets even worse because of that. You know, let's say if I'm not sending a sales proposal, then that means that I'm not making money. Because I'm not making money, I'm not living the life that I want to have, for example, you know, because of that, like maybe I can't travel around the world, or I can't, you know what I mean? This kind of thing. And then I really see the impact. I really like feel the impact of that. And then it kind of makes me like, okay, so what do I need to do right now to make this change? And then I come up with a big list. And what could be a fun thing that I'll get to do as a result of doing this new change? And then focusing on the fun really kind of helps me to kind of get into a good mood. And then I focus on, okay, what could I do right now that will make like the biggest difference? And actually, one thing that makes a really big difference is like, okay, what there's always, it feels like there's always like that domino piece, that one tiny thing that will make like a biggest impact for everything. And I ask myself, okay, what is that one thing I could do right now that will make a massive impact for everything? And a lot of times it's actually exercise because it's like you're changing the mood. You're feeling like, okay, because once you feel like doing everything, then it's like, okay, you're moving, you're making things happen. But when you're in this stuck mode, you're not doing anything, and that's when nothing happens. Everything is like on a break. So, and a lot of times it could be something fun, like dancing or like swimming or like walking or like, but for me, the thing that works the most is something that does, that has some adrenaline in it, like hiking or like a zip line or, I know, sometimes it can be even like, when you kind of, you don't laser your hair, but with the machine thingy, because it causes like a shock, you know, on your skin when you're kind of pulling your hair with that machine thingy. And I find that works as well, kind of gets me into gear again. It's like, oh my God, I'm alive again, you know, and it kind of makes me kind of get out of a stuck mode. Have you ever experienced anything like that? Do you find that useful?
So there are two things that I want to say about that. One of the things that I always recommend my clients to create a list of the things that they love doing it. And that is very similar to what you just said, like what can get you out of the zone. And it has to be something joyful, something that they will be happy to do it. And I recommend doing that every single day, even for 5 minutes. And that also has to do with the trust that we just discussed. Is when, you, let's say somebody likes reading books, they can make a goal and agreement with themselves that they will read a book every day. So the whole day they know that they will show up for themselves and they'll read the book, even one page, you know, even one paragraph, but they did it. And that's how they will not only be happy because they did something they loved, but also they showed up for themselves. So they build the trust in themselves that they can show up for themselves. And they also, they honor their needs. That's very important. Number two, what I want to say, it's you know, when I studied a lot about women and men, how we handle stress and how we are productive and happy and healthy, we need different things. So women became more sick because we became very driven and produce more testosterone. We're in the testosterone-driven environment. So that's good, but we need to counter that stress also with what our hormones needs, as of like oxytocin and dopamine and all those happy hormones. So that's why it's very important to do something that you love doing it. So, you know, when you say those are things that get me out of, you know, because I'll go and do something exciting. That is self-care. So for those women who are very driven, the key is to stop bulldozing yourself into something doing it, but giving yourself a break and taking care of your needs and of your creativity. And then when you already fall, then you will be more inspired actually in doing things that you want and stay healthy. When it comes to men, they need testosterone. So that's where men thrive in the high pressure, whatever there is a task involved, like, you know, going and achieving the goals. And that's why when women and men argue about in the relationship and the woman wants to vent and talk about how her day went and this sucked and this or whatever, the men say, well, just go and quit the job or stop doing your business. They are the immediately going to solve your problem. And that's how they manage stress. The women, we just need to talk about it, write it down, things. I love how you mentioned you just like writing things out and kind of observing it and analyzing it, because you are honoring your needs of looking at that stress outside of yourself. So, and when we are not productive and we burn out and we stuck, it is because we are depleted our inner energy. So in order to bring that energy up is to do something that is helping us to bring it up. So finding that happy place that we can do. And, you know, when I tell this to my clients, they're like, well, I wish I can go on a vacation every week. It's like, We need to find different ways. You know, that's why it's very important to make a list of things that you can do every day, or even not necessarily every day, a day the same thing. It could be one day you want to do one thing, another day another thing. But I love what you said, that you already know what makes you happy and snap out of it. And the key is here that it has to come from a perspective of that is self-care. It's like when you fill your own pitch, then you can pour to others, and you can pour towards your projects, and you can get more inspired. And I think when we're inspired, then we can make a change in anything that we want to do.
Thank you. Tell us where entrepreneurs can connect with you.
So you're welcome to book a session with me, Stress Management, or the Story to Impact, and help to write and publish your book. Go to my website, beamazingyou.com. Also, I have a YouTube channel, the same name, Be Amazing You. And I just started a podcast also with the same name.
Thank you.
Heal Podcast with Lily Patrascu shares longevity and anti-aging techniques to stay young forever, increase energy, overcome addiction, and live your longest, best life ever, shared by world's most innovative alternative and traditional health thought leaders, healers, and doctors. Discover quantum healing strategies to heal your mind, body, and soul.